Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
With David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, WBFF 97.7. Glad you could be here with us today, where we will dissect God's Word and turn it into just your normal, everyday understanding. There's a lot of things in this Bible, some in plain black and white, others you have to look real hard. God says He intentionally done that because He wants you to read His book over and over and over again. Spend your entire life reading it every day and you will never understand all of it. Read this book over 100 times through in different passages, hundreds of times. And it amazes me. Sometimes I'll read something I've read 150 times and something will open up. Say, wow, there's a different meaning there along with the other meaning. It's right here in black and white. It said, does my heart good for kings to search my word? A lot of things in here you don't hear in church. Not the first time around for mankind on this planet. Yes, those fossils are millions of years old because they were here during the first age of mankind. Jeremiah spells it out. God flooded the earth once before and He put the sun out. The sun was out for eons. But He said, I know my wrath will one day cease and I will begin again. And He went to Genesis, says, let there be light for at least a second time. Created man on the sixth day, male and female, created He them and said to them, replenish the earth. How many times have you read that, Christian? Did it ever pop out to you? He didn't say go and populate the earth. He said go and replenish the earth. And He rested on the seventh day, and sometime later, we don't know how long, it's a big gap there, then He said, I have no man, no special man to till my garden. My temple on earth, the Garden of Eden, which Jeremiah said had become a wilderness because God had destroyed the world. So He created His special priest, Adam. And the whole time, them first two were replenishing the earth. Yeah, it kind of explains where Cain got his wife, doesn't it? And then immediately went out and built a city for the four people that were on the earth at the time.
The whole city.
A lot of things between the lines. And one of the most important things is God gave His first covenant. You know what Pastor told you, the Ten Commandments? No, that was not it. He told Abraham, I give you a covenant, an everlasting covenant. Follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. That was the first covenant. The law was given as punishment. Because Abraham's children proved to him that they could not follow him with all their heart. He came out of Israel, following him one day, not following him the next. It became a battle, and he said, you know what, like a good father, I'm going to lay the law on you because you can't do it the easy way. So, the entire point of the Adamic line after Adam fell was to bring about the Messiah to cleanse them back to a state where God could interact with them again. And that's what He done with Jesus Christ, to reset the first covenant. Follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. No, Christ says, follow me with all your heart. It's even easier and be baptized, just an outward expression. That circumcision was an outward expression, a physical mark. Well, the baptism is a physical expression that you are absolutely following. Zephaniah is in days. And he brings about a point that you don't see in here very much. What we see in here is mankind consistently violating the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. They're worshiping other gods. Well, Zephaniah said there'll come a time when men will say there is no God. That's like unheard of. All throughout the chapters of this book, they're always finding other gods, but they always know there is some sort of deity. But Zephaniah says, no, there'll come a time when men will say there is no God. I think we're there right now. Secular science tells everyone there is no God. It was just a big explosion one day, and then some acid mixed with some goo, and something crawled out of the pond. And then 50 million years later, it had hands and feet. And it looked like an ape. And then, yeah, man popped out. Yeah, well, I'm thinking that first chimpanzee daddy, when that baby popped out hairless, he's looking at his wife pretty hard.
What is this?
Where have you been? Poppycock.
Hanging out with a seal, aren't you?
All right, let's jump into the book of Zephaniah here. Chapter 1, the word of the Lord which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushi, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah. And if you've been following all the other episodes, you'll know exactly who this man is from that lineage.
Yes.
I love these ones where you got to search back just to get an idea, because they name off all the lineage of the man. But, you know, that will tell you a lot of things. You look back at the lineages here, and you'll see which ones followed God, which ones didn't. And there might be a bad apple or two in there, but the majority will have followed God, because this is a prophet of God. That's the reason they do that. They're showing you a bloodline that is following after God. I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of the heaven and the fishes of the sea, and the stumbling blocks with the wicked, and I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. Wow, this reminds me of Jeremiah. Basically what God did during the first flood. He said all the cities were broken down, all the fowls of the air fled, and the beasts of the fields were dead. This is end days. This is when God's wrath is poured out upon this place. I will stretch out mine hand upon Judah, upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place, in the name of the Chimerims, with the priests. Look up Chimerims, Jonathan. Get a better idea of who they are, because their priests are getting wiped out too. And them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship that swear by the Lord, and that swear by Malcham, and them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord. It's basically non-discriminating. All. Because it's time for judgment. This is not a stick whacking like he's given Israel all these years. This is the end of mankind. God's final judgment day. All. He's naming everyone there.
Chimerim is a Hebrew word that's quite intriguing. It's generally understood to refer to adulterous priests, pagan priests, who led the people of Judah into adulterous practices.
Oh, they're all like that now. If you've seen our other episodes, our former episodes, the priest line went bad. They went a whoring after money right as soon as they got into Canaan. Old Phinehas, he led the pack, the father of the crooked priests. He was the first televangelist, set up a brothel right next to God's tabernacle, figured a way he could snag a little extra meat of the first meats that was supposed to go to God.
And the fats.
Yeah, and the fats. And he even figured out a way, he didn't even have to butcher the animals anymore. He said, bring it already cut up. Mm-hmm. And I'll take what I want. And I'll take what's left in there and give it to God. Yeah. He doesn't seem to mind. We haven't seen him lately.
I mean, he's invisible. How's he hungry?
Yeah, he didn't come around here much anymore. I guess not. You'd set up a brothel next to his tabernacle. The priest's line is sinful. He's a televangelist, begging you to send him $1,000. And they will send you a little piece of cloth that they've wiped the sweat of their brow with.
Yes.
And it will probably give you COVID, but no, he says it'll heal you. Just touch it to those pimples on your cheeks and they'll go away. And that could be because of the salt content from the sweat. It might actually work in that respect. Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice, he hath bid his guests. Ah, that is his perfect sacrifice of his son. And all the guests that he called, none of them would come. So he opened the door for everyone. It shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such that are clothed with strange apparel. Ah, is that clothes purchased at Target? No. That's strange gods, strange religion. All the different religions of the world have clothing associated with them. Except for, well, Christianity's got the leisure suit. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The full armor. And then you got Phineas with the leisure.
Oh, yeah.
The platforms and the gold chain.
And there's a perfect example there between the lines. I will punish the princes and the children and all such that are clothed with strange apparel. Strange religion. Mm-hmm. Things that God does not recognize as part of what he has set. In the same day also will I punish all those that leap on the threshold, which fill their masters' houses with violence and deceit. It shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that there shall be the noise of a cry from the fish gate, and a howling from the second, and a great crashing from the hills, all at the same time everywhere.
I wonder if Dagon's in charge of the fish gate, being that he's the fish god.
That's a reference to the lowly fisherman all the way up to the greatest man in the land. Howl, ye inhabitants of Mektish, for all the merchant people are cut down. All they that bear silver are cut off. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles. Ah, wonder if he's going to pour out that horrible darkness that is not darkness. It is something. You know, darkness is the absence of light. Remember in Egypt, Jonathan, mm-hmm. when that darkness came, that the light would not even penetrate?
The Jews actually call that a double darkness.
Yeah, I mean, that was a spiritual black cloth. Mm-hmm. And I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees. The unconcerned people, just going through life. Mm-hmm. I'm not a bad person. Yeah, God got, if there is a God, he has no problem with me. I don't kill people. I don't steal people from people. You are put here for a purpose. Christian, non-Christian. This is a testing ground. Well, I never asked to be put here. No, but you were created by the Almighty, for a purpose. You were put here in an innocent body, which erased all of your knowledge of the Father, because he says, I knew you before I placed you in the womb, and it was necessary. Had you come here with the heavenly knowledge of the Father, it wouldn't have been a test. You would have scored an A+. But you had to be put into this life. And I truly believe it is because the original rebellion during the first age, when angels left their first estate, see that right there in Jude, and that means they left their heavenly home in lust after women. They wanted to taste this thing called life that these humans are, you know, these lowly humans that have been given this wonderful, wonderful thing called life. They wanted to taste that. And in God's rage, I do believe he says, all right, after it all came to the end, because the first world fell apart and was destroyed and God flooded it, I think God said, I'm going to test all of the hosts of heaven. I'm going to send you all into this life. See if you can find your way back to me. I'm going to give you plenty of road signs. I'm going to give you plenty of internal help, because I'm going to place the spirit in the heart of man. The mind of man, the Bible says, is contrary to the will of God. It's up to the spirit man placed in the heart to gain control of the mind and guide this abominable flesh down the narrow path. Find your way back to me. It's that easy. Follow me with all your heart. I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees. Just really not choosing a side. But say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. Translation, there is no God. Everything just happens. Science has explained it. You know, I even heard what's the name of the scientist he died. He was in the wheelchair.
Stephen Hawking.
Brilliant physicist. I heard him giving an explanation of the universe, and he explained it in scientific terms. Then he got to a certain point, and he says, now, if there is a God, this is where it comes in, because I cannot explain it at this point. So even the man of science, the exalted man of science, explained all he could in a secular point of view, and then said, you know, to get from here to there, science can't explain it. If there is a God, this is where he comes in, because unexplainable. Therefore, their goods shall become a booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. All of their life's work will be of no avail, because they have chosen in their heart there is no God. Why would you go and build a fancy house if 30 years from now you're just going to be nothing? Why would you teach your children the right ways in the world if you're going to go away and be nothing, and they're going to go away and be nothing? What a dreadful mindset to be in, that I will just die one day and there'll be nothing. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and the alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon all men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. This is during the wrath of God, in the second half of the tribulation period. Don't worry, Christian, you will have been taken out of this life moments before that, but not 3.5 years before that. You will suffer persecution. The rapture does not happen till right before the wrath of God is poured out. I don't care what Pastor Bob told you. Pastor Bob doesn't know. It's right here in black and white, numerous times in this Bible. You will go through persecution. And I've said so many times, I say it. I reference the souls wearing white underneath the throne. John said, who are these? Where do they come from? Angel says they come out of tribulation, and they have to be there until their number is complete. They're given white robes and told them to be just settle down and wait, because the tribulation of the church is not over. Because all you pastors have told your congregations, oh, we're going to be taken out of here before even the littlest bad stuff starts. We're going to get out of here. No, you're not. The Second Thessalonians says, because of that, there'll be a great falling away of faith. Think about that, Pastor, before you say it again. Why is there a great falling away of faith? And this is particular to the rapture, because Second Thessalonians says, concerning our gathering together to Christ, stop worrying about it. It's not going to happen yet. It won't happen till the man of sin goes into the third temple, which Daniel says was made in the first half of the tribulation period, and declares himself God. And Daniel spells that out by the day, 3.5 years into the tribulation period. The rapture will not happen till then. Paul says, and because the pastors over the years have told their congregation, you won't be persecuted. This won't happen. God's going to take you out of here. There'll be a great falling away of faith. So are you responsible for that, Pastor? Yes, you are. God going to hold you accountable for your ignorance? No. Because ignorance is bliss, especially when your heart is following after Him. But how much is your heart following after Him? Had it been following after Him a little better, maybe the ignorant cloud that was upon your mind would have been lifted. God will not allow a servant of His to go through life ignorant of His prophecies if you're following after Him with all your heart.
My word will not return to me void.
That's right. Had you started out following after Him with all your heart and waned a little bit, yeah, an ignorant cloud is going to come upon you. You're going to preach the Methodist gospel, whatever they tell you to preach, without searching His word. I don't mean to pick on Methodists, but they've been in the news a lot lately. The Methodist Church, I wouldn't call it a church anymore. It is a secular, all-inclusive club for anything and everyone that wants to join.
Universal to any sort of debauchery.
That's right. Put your dollar in the offering plate, we'll accept who you are and what you do. There are a lot of others out there like that. Denominations were the first cracks in the foundation of Christ's church. Paul was fighting against it in his time. There were already denominations being formed. Oh, we followed John. We like what Thomas used to say before they stoned him. You know, and he said, stop this. Well, John says things a little bit differently than Thaddeus does. Yes, but it doesn't matter. Focus on the main theme here.
The message.
The message.
Not the method.
That's right. That's right.
The method is religion.
The Son of God and His sacrifice. Chapter 2, Book of Zephaniah. Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation, not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought His judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. There is always hope, even at that time. And God says so. He takes away His church shortly before His wrath is poured out. And any time, it says any time in here, that someone comes to the conclusion that this is God, there is salvation there. There's even a reflection period after the wrath of God is poured out, before Christ returns, for those who survive the wrath of God, to reflect on what they've just been through. Wow, this Antichrist has been taken down, all the armies of the world have been wiped out by this. Is he God? I mean, he seems to be all powerful.
Nothing can hurt him.
Yeah, a reflection period. I mean, God never excluded anyone. Oh, the Jews are His chosen people. No, read this book. Read the Old Testament. There were always, everyone was always included. The Jews were His chosen people to bring forth the line of the Messiah. The priest line, the Adamic line. God never excluded. There's so many covenants in this book with other people. Other peoples, even the inhabitants of Canaan, God was working with them. So I'm going to put you in Egypt for a while because I'm working with these children of Canaan and they have been transgressing against me, but they haven't transgressed enough yet. That means he was working with them. Christ, after He rose, His disciple says, so where were you? With my other sheep. Many. God never excluded anyone. The chosen people, it's gotten a stigmatism about it. They were not His only chosen people. They were the chosen for the purpose of bringing forth the salvation to the world. Just like when He made the first man and woman and told them to replenish the earth on the sixth day. let's call them the common folk, okay? And then sometime after the seventh day, he made a priest line, the Adamic line. It's right there in black and white. Catch episode one on WBFFradio.com. The priest line. The priest line was never meant to procreate. He was meant to keep God's temple, the Garden of Eden. When Satan tempted them, and the temptation was much more than an apple. There were two babies in Eve's womb, and they both had two different fathers. Blasphemous! Blasphemous! Jonathan! Hit the button!
All right.
No, it's right there in black and white. You ever wonder why God said when he's doling out punishment in the garden? Said to the serpent, her seed will bruise the head of your seed, and your seed will bruise his heel. Where did the seed of the serpent came from? Where did the serpent come from? As soon as God turned on the lights again for the second time, he was there. Ah. You ever wonder why, after Cain killed Abel, that when his next son Seth was born, the Bible says, and Adam had another son, they called him Seth. And this one actually looked like him.
Weird.
Between the lines is not always between the lines, it's in plain sight. But you've been told a religious monologue all your life that you can read that and not even get curious. Oh yeah, don't eat of that tree over there. Oh, you can eat of that. And you know, that's, you're not gonna die. Just take a bite of that apple.
Really say you
yeah, look at the words associated with that little conversation. Sexual seduction. And Eve found it good. She took it to her husband. Yeah.
Yeah. The term beguiled.
Yeah.
Beguiled
Eve.
Yeah. Which is almost innuendo.
Yeah, and there's one little word and shortly after that. It says, and Adam knew his wife. Why not just Adam knew his wife? And Adam knew his wife. Because Adam was second in line.
They weren't making a list when they said and.
No. And it's not funny, but it is funny. Because religion has shied this from your eyes. They don't want you to know this stuff. They don't want you to have a full understanding. You have a full understanding of this Bible, you have no choice but to love God. To follow him with all your heart. You look at religion today, and the God of the Old Testament looks like an angry, abusive God. It's not. So many times, he bent his own rules for these people. Just to include them. How easy was it? Follow me with all your heart. And there have been several that were able to almost do it. Perfection is what God requires. Perfection he knows you cannot establish now that we all have the seed of the serpent in us. Thank you, children of Israel. God says, go into Canaan and wipe the land clean. Do not procreate with these people. Oh, but I think they'll make good servants. What do you got you, Jonathan? You want to keep some servants for your tribe?
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather not work the fields.
Yeah, so. I don't like chopping wood. I really don't like taking the trash out.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's keep them. We will not procreate with them, God. They're telling Caleb this.
Mm-hmm.
And Caleb says, well, yeah, I mean, you've kept them here now. Moses said no. God said no. Now you've kept them here. Just don't procreate with them. Maybe they'll die out.
Yeah.
And maybe things will return again to being okay. Because God said, I will curse you if you leave these people here.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.